Well, good morning. Today is Monday, August 9th, 2021. Last week's teaching, our ultimate focus was making our calling election sure as we looked at 2 Peter. And it's referring to God's invitation and our acceptance. God called us, actually everyone, and we accept or decline. 2 Peter 1:4 says, "Through our acceptance of his invitation, we received exceeding great and precious promises, that through these promises we could partake of his divine nature and escape the corruption that is in the world through lust." And that's exactly what happened for us. Accepting his invitation was the beginning, and salvation immediately followed. We received the faith of Jesus Christ. And last week I mentioned about building upon our faith, but perhaps exercise offers a clear explanation, whichever works. But, you know, we can exercise our faith. Verse 5 of 2 Peter 1, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, which is excellence and praise, and to your virtue, knowledge." Well, the word add to your faith virtue, it means minister, nourish, supply, furnish. This word indicates that adding is never going to end. It's a present and a continuing action. Adding is something that we do. We nourish our faith, that faith of Jesus Christ. Now, the faith of Jesus Christ, the salvation part, that's not going to grow. But our, where we take action upon what we have received permanently, our believing, if that's how you want to think of it. The faith of Jesus Christ, the promise of the Father, the gift of Holy Spirit, salvation, born again, however it is referred to in the Word, it is all that we need to be heaven bound. That will not grow, that part. That is the seed within us. But nothing will ever change that, but we can develop our walks from that point on. We can grow spiritually. Verse 5 instructs us that we are to nourish and minister to our faith. And the first exercise mentioned is virtue. Adding virtue. Nourishing virtue. Nourishing excellence and praise is our first response to God. That virtue is a moral excellence in our lives that we add by nourishing ourselves with godly edification. And in turn, our moral excellence shows praise. It comes from our lives, praise of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Glorifying God and giving him excellent praise exercises our faith. And there are various words in the Greek translated in the King James as praise, praising, praised. And some of those Greek words are translated in other words too. But they all contain the idea of giving thanks and due honor to the one who is worthy of praise. You know, it is speaking praise, giving thanks, singing praises, worshiping God, and living a praiseworthy life that brings that praise to God, that glorifies him. And the reason is, we covered this last week, remember, we are not self-made. The reason is because his gift in us, within us, and therefore, every praiseworthy action of our life is only possible through the presence of his gift. You know, because it's not works. It's not the works of the flesh. You know, so every praiseworthy action of our life is only possible through his gift that he has put within us. And this is breathtakingly evident in Acts chapter 2, where believers first receive the Holy Spirit. And I do want to spend some time in Acts chapter 2. That's where we'll spend the day, because I think it helps us to maybe, see a way to have a revival in our hearts. So leading up to this particular Pentecost day, at his ascension, Jesus instructed his apostles to remain in Jerusalem to wait for the promise of the Father. And Jesus had already explained to them before his crucifixion all about this. He told them that in the near future, they would be baptized with the Holy Ghost. They would receive the promise of the Father. So the 11, remember Judas had committed suicide. The 11 put their attention to God's selection for an apostle to replace Judas. And the scripture records that Matthias became numbered with the apostles, making 12. So here we are, Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So this record shows that they were waiting for the promise of the Father. Being baptized in Holy Spirit in the coming days was their expectation, and they were waiting for it. But now here they are. It's the day of Pentecost. Devout people, you know, this isn't the first day of Pentecost. This has been going on annually. Devout people from countries all around came to Jerusalem to be part of this annual celebration as they had done for years. But on this particular Pentecost day, with everyone gathered, look at verse 2. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded. And that means their minds were stirred up, because every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed. And this word is really, I think we can definitely relate to it. They were beside themselves in the sense that they were out of their mind with amazement. I mean, you know, they were just hitting their foreheads, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and in Cappadocia, and in Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in all parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Romans, Jews, and proselytes, Cretes, and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." So these devout men dwelling in Jerusalem represented a huge geographical area. From Jerusalem, Rome, of all these nations mentioned, Rome was the most westerly point mentioned, and it was 1,400 miles from Jerusalem. And then Elam was the most easterly point from Jerusalem, about 1,000 miles. And then Pontus, I think, is like the most northerly, and it's now part of Turkey. And then down to Cyrene, which is in Libya to the south, it was about 2,400 miles. So it's a large area. The native languages for these locations, these people would have spoken Aramaic, Hebrew, Greek, Latin, Persian, Arabic, and then there were also some of the oldest known languages that were represented, spoken in North Africa and areas in the Sahara Desert. So just imagine, no wonder the crowd was out of their minds, so to speak, with this amazement. They were in a state of absolute wonderment and admiration to hear the wonderful works of God in their own distinct languages. You know, like they said, aren't these speaking Galileans? You know, they knew the Galileans did not know all these languages. And the apostles could not take credit for such a miracle as this, even if they had wanted to. The ones with believing hearts knew it was God's working. God received the praise. That wonderful works of God. What do you suppose that sounds like? It sounds like praises for God. It sounds like glorifying Him, praising Him. Verse 14, it goes on. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. How about this? Peter is standing up, and he's so matter of fact. He told these men, hearken to my words. He was fearless. But you know, not so many days before this, just after Jesus' resurrection, he didn't exude this confidence at all. Look at John 20:19. The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst. This is Jesus in his resurrected form, and said unto them, Peace be unto you. So, you know, not too many days before this, here are the disciples behind closed doors because they were afraid of the Jews. Well, on Pentecost, Peter and the apostles, they're not behind closed doors anymore for fear of the Jews. Here's Peter with the others, and he's telling the Jews, listen to me, hearken to my words. Peter's now filled with the Holy Spirit. He's living life far above and beyond his natural ability. And that's what having the Holy Spirit within us should be. We should live life far above and beyond our natural abilities. And the work of the Holy Spirit here with Peter, it's spot on. Because after Peter delivered his sermon and offered them salvation, verse 39 records, I think it's verse 37. Now, when they heard, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, change, turn yourself around. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of Holy Spirit. And they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So Peter delivered God's invitation, and they that gladly received his invitation were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Praises to God was the first thing on the day of Pentecost. Remember, every nation, every person there heard them speak the wonderful works of God in their first language. They understood it completely. And here you have all these newly born again ones. And in verse 42, we see that they are continuing. Now, what are they continuing in? They're continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So upon receiving the new birth, they voluntarily chose and continued to feed and water themselves with the apostles' doctrine, with the word of God. Verse 46, they continued daily with one accord, and it was of their own accord. Not only was it of one accord, but it was of their own choice. They continued in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And gladness means an exuberant joy. I think gladness kind of falls short here, but it denotes joy in the redemptive work of God. Hence, more praise among them as they were together. I mean, they're sharing exuberant joy. And singleness of heart means that they had an unworldly simplicity. God's love and grace were the center of the stage, not pomp and circumstance. Nothing of necessity they did during their day overshadowed the spirituals. And back in verse 42, it says, and fear, which is just outright awe, came upon every soul, and many signs, wonders and signs were done by the apostles. That outright awe arose within each soul, and as a result, those wonders and signs were done. Verse 44, and all that believed together had all things common, and sold their possessions and their goods, and parted them to all men, or all, as every man had need. Now that means each household took their own provisions and possessions and kind of divvied them up to help supply for others. I recently read that communist and socialist, they use these verses to push their evil agenda where citizens should own nothing and the government owns everything they had, and then they dole out what they think you need. You know, Acts 2 is not about socialism. Here in Acts 2, immediately following the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people, many of whom did not permanently live in Jerusalem. Now, they're not all going to fit in one dining hall, for sure. And how are they going to be cared for? So there was a spiritual unity among the households of people, believers in Jerusalem. And they simply pooled their resources to supply for the needs of their guest. It was a unique situation, but even in our culture today, it's not a unique solution, because that is what caring for people is all about. That's what caring people do in unique situations. They gather together and they do what they can do. Even on your block, someone has an unfortunate situation occur in their life. The neighbors hear about it and they all band together and they kind of take turns taking care of that person, or maybe they do a collection. They do whatever they can. It doesn't mean that they sold the floor out from under themselves. They didn't sell the roof from over their heads. And remember, it was their choice to give. Choice is free will. Remember 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8 concerning giving. It is as you purpose in your heart. Free will is not something new, nor is giving. It was alive and well in Acts chapter 2. They didn't give grudgingly. They did give to someone else's necessity, but they didn't give grudgingly. They gave because, oh my gosh, look at what we've just read. They gave because spiritually there was just no other decision they could possibly make and live with it. They gave out of the abundance of their heart to spread the resources around so that everyone had what they needed. In verse 47, praising God and having favor, sharing grace with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. He can only add those that accept his invitation, right? In Acts 4, verse 4, we have another record here. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. So Peter and the apostles, now we have 3,000. They're all going out. They're speaking the word. Peter and John heal the lame man at the temple. He's walking around leaping and praising God. And as a result of all that, above 5,000 more people were added to the church. In Acts 4:32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. They pulled together. You know, we enjoy a small plaque we purchased a few years back. It reads, where there is great love, there are always miracles. And here in verse 33, the very next verse, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither, verse 34, was there any among them that lacked. So, as I mentioned when I started, you know, maybe it is great to study and work this fabulous record and take the time to process the reality of it in our hearts and our minds to get it fresh again. Maybe we need a personal revival of the action of our faith as we add that praise into our life. We can begin by exercising our faith to praise God. You know, faith is the reality of what is within us. And we are able to walk out on that and grow. Praising God, our praises for God, then opens the doors of our hearts for the Holy Spirit to work within us to will and to do of God's good pleasure. God bless you.